The ACLU and some community activists delivered more than 150,000 signatures to Amazon's doorstep yesterday, right to the spheres. The petition asks Amazon to stop selling its facial recognition software to local law enforcement agencies. These groups are worried the tool could be used for widespread identification and tracking, could target people of color, immigrants, civil society organizations. Amazon shareholders also sent a letter last week with the same request. Shareholders. Amazon is not the only one in hot water, either over a controversial government contract. Microsoft and Google have both come under fire recently for who they've chosen to work with. We'll get into that. Todd Bishop is with me. He's the co-founder and editor of Seattle's tech news site, GeekWire. Welcome back, Todd.
Thank you, Bill.
First of all, this Amazon facial recognition tool, it's called Recognition with a K. How does it work?
This is one of many emerging artificial intelligence tools that use machine learning to do things that computers could not do in the past. In this case, what recognition does is it can scan images of faces and essentially detect patterns with superpowers on a level that humans could not, and in doing so, identify individual people and essentially allow law enforcement agencies to see, for example, if someone was at this intersection on one day, the same person might have been at the other intersection on another day, and they can use their existing surveillance systems to analyze the images using this recognition software and see patterns that they might not otherwise see.
Okay, so theoretically, a law enforcement department could use its officers to be very observant about who was in one place one day and the other. If they had many fantastic sketch artists, very accurate. In other words, is the facial recognition software allowing them to police to do anything that they couldn't normally do, or it's just turbocharging it?
It's turbocharging it. It's essentially taking the same types of input, the images that they might get from their surveillance systems or cameras, and allowing the computers to do the work. Now, this is, of course, cloud computing, high levels of artificial intelligence, so this is something that even thousands of humans could not do. We're talking very powerful computers. So
that matters.
To say that it's simply superpowering human abilities is actually somewhat understating it.
Yes.
This is new.
This is a new capability. In effect, this is a new capability.
Absolutely.
And how would this, would these images be linked to what? To names, to immigration status, to what's the concern?
All sorts of things. And the question, that is exactly the question. What could law enforcement do with this? What will they do with this? And it steps into all these issues that each of these tech companies is dealing with, because over the years, they've been very reliant at times on government contracts. But it's a very different thing, for example, when you're supplying cloud computing to the Department of Labor or to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, as Microsoft was in hot water over this week. So this is something very different when you start to get into these types of government contracts.
Yes. Is this, I mentioned the community activists and shareholders too, objecting to law enforcement use of Amazon's facial recognition technology. Is that are Amazon executives worried about this on a business level, that people are looking into their products and demanding a moral stance from a company we mostly associate with kind of libertarian, let the market decide values?
So far, at least, if they are concerned, I'm sure they are concerned at some level, but they have not reached the level of concern that would cause them to back away from offering this recognition software, this cloud computing tool to law enforcement agencies. And in that way, the difference among the responses from Microsoft and Google and Amazon, it's almost like a Rorschach test, the way that each of these companies has responded differently to the criticism over supplying technology to these agencies.
How so? Have they responded differently?
So Google, for example, was criticized internally and externally for a project called Project Maven, which is a contract between Google and the Pentagon to do much the same thing, supply artificial intelligence that can be used, for example, by drones, on images collected from drones to detect patterns. And the concern with Project Maven is that it could be used to execute essentially unmanned killings if the Pentagon decides that, hey, if you see this pattern in the AI data, this is what could happen. You could essentially, without human intervention,
take the shot.
Exactly. And so that is a major concern at Google. Now, the way Google employees reacted was very public. People were resigning. And Google said, okay, we hear you. And we are going to do no further work, extend this contract no further than we've already agreed to with the Pentagon. And that is really in line with Google's longtime philosophy of don't be evil. It's the don't be evil camp.
But is it don't be evil unless you get caught? Or are you saying
that's the thing. That's the thing. That's exactly right. And the thing is, in Google's case, they are essentially number three in cloud computing behind Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure. And there is a giant contract up for grabs right now with the Pentagon worth potentially billions of dollars. And so by Google essentially taking its future work on this Project Maven off the table, they have put a giant piece of business in jeopardy. And so really what you have here is the business interests of the companies in conflict with many societal interests in terms of making sure that AI doesn't go too far and start making decisions for us. And it's the push and pull. And clearly in Google's case, they felt, at least based on the employee backlash, that they had gone too far.
And where is Redmond in all of this? Where is Microsoft?
Microsoft is a fascinating case. So when this came out about their work with ICE and the fact that they said that they were proud of it back in January when they announced it.
Yeah, will you tell that story, the infamous proud of our work, to support this work?
That's right. Microsoft said in that original announcement about their work with immigration that they were proud of it. And then the backlash started to come amid the reports about the separation of children and families at the border.
I'll read the little bit longer quote for context. This is a blog post in January for Microsoft. The agency is currently, are they talking about ICE?
Yes.
The agency?
Yes.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The agency is currently implementing transformative technologies for homeland security and public safety, and we are proud to support this work.
Right, and we do know that some of the work that Microsoft is doing for immigration and customs is related to this kind of facial recognition and analysis. But in the original statement, they said they were proud of it. Briefly, yesterday, Microsoft took that down, and this was
deleted that phrase?
Yes, exactly. Deleted that section referring to their pride in the contract. After they were called out on social media, and then after Bloomberg News contacted them to say, hey, why'd you take this down? They put it back. Now, Microsoft, to be clear, has not shied away from taking a stand against a wide variety of things that the government has done, both under the Obama administration and the Trump administration.
Can you think of an example?
Yes, absolutely. So Microsoft has sued over the DACA changes, the deferred...
right.
Yeah, you know that acronym.
Yes, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals.
Exactly. And so they have sued over that.
People who are brought here as minors.
Microsoft went all the way to the Supreme Court in a case over a piece of data on a data center in Ireland that the Justice Department was trying to get, saying that it was not their domain. And really, Microsoft, in a wide variety of ways, has said, hey, we are going to stand up to the government. And of course, this dates back all the way to Microsoft's own antitrust case, where they have not shied away from taking on the government. That said, in this statement, they were very clear as well that they do not offer technology that's used directly in the separation of children and families. But unlike Google, they have not yet said that they are going to do no further work with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency.
Are these the big three? I imagine this, you talked about a government contract worth billions. And is it going to Microsoft, Google, or Amazon, or someone else? And if we don't take it, they will? Or how's that going down?
If it went to someone other than these three, it would be a pretty significant surprise, because a lot of the other companies are either legacy companies like Oracle or others along those lines that have not yet gotten fully into the cloud world. These are the three big public cloud vendors, each of whom have aggressively pursued government cloud contracts. I was in Washington, D.C. a few months ago. At some of the metro stops, the amount of advertising specific to government procurement agencies, in the subway stops is remarkable for both Amazon and Microsoft, specifically touting their government clouds. So this is clearly a big business with huge stakes for each of these companies.
Do you think these companies, how much do they not want to get into deciding who uses their software and how and who's good and bad?
That is a very good question, because I think they would love to avoid this entirely if they could. It's so tricky, and it's political, it's messy, it gets into areas where it's a judgment call. Some people might think that what Immigration and Customs is doing is right,
yeah,
even despite the backlash.
Yep.
And so they risk not only alienating some shareholders, but some employees, no matter which side of the issue they come down on. And so this is difficult. I think one of the things that came up at Google was it becomes harder and harder for companies to take public stands on social issues the bigger they get, because the chances are just that much higher that they're going to alienate a pretty significant part of their constituency.
Yeah. I wonder whether the whole Facebook Cambridge Analytica thing changed their customers' tastes for this?
I think you do have to think about what's happened with Facebook in this entire context, because there has been a great awakening among the American public, among the global population, about the reach of tech companies into our lives. And here you have yet another example where each of these companies is providing some form of technology to the government that gives them powers, that gives the government powers that it did not have before. So it's a huge issue, and I think it's an important one to talk about.
Again, we started off talking with GeekWire's Todd Bishop about the ACLU and community activists and shareholders asking Amazon to stop selling its facial recognition software to local law enforcement. Has Amazon made any official response to any of that?
Nothing official, no, but they've been very clear that this is something they're going to continue to do, and they've essentially stood by the technology and said, hey, you know, how other people use it is really up to them, and that's where the law should step in if there's a problem with how they're using it.
GeekWire's Todd Bishop, he's in a collared short-sleeved shirt. You're not naked or anything. I mean, it's not 90 degrees. It's not 100 degrees, but it's warm.
It is warm, yes. No, not in the radio studio.
Not in the studio.
I keep my clothes on here.
Yes, yes. I respect that, and I appreciate that. I've told you time again how much that means to me. Mid-80s yesterday, I slept last night in a tent in my backyard with two of my kids. I'm telling you this because we were asking on social media, we were just talking about Facebook, do you need air conditioning in Seattle?
I've been following this at KUOW.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So Christy, born and raised here, says, got a heat pump last year, and for the first time as an adult, I don't completely hate summer. A heat pump, so you're pumping the hot air out of your place?
Well, for me, the great outdoors is the answer, much as it is.
It's a heat pump.
You. Exactly. My wife and I were outside last night, sitting on the front deck at about 10 p.m.
Yep.
And it was perfect.
Yeah, I came in the morning to go to work to get ready for work, and man, was it hot inside my house. The tent.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Mary says, Mary came in from the Bay Area 6 years ago, says, our first two summers here were not when my husband advertised. I expected highs of 70 during the summer. I cannot take 85 plus. We spent so much money eating out on hot days in hopes that our home would be less than 80 at bedtime. It rarely helped. We had central cooling put in 3 years ago. I'm firmly in the absolutely air group. While Danny says air conditioners are for wimps. Does GeekWire take a position on this question?
No, but I do personally. Having grown up in the Sacramento Valley, where it can routinely get above 100, approach 110 on some days, I think people around here can be wimps. I mean, the fact that it's 85, 85, and you're talking about air conditioning, please.
Yvonne says, AC is much like the umbrella. Real Seattleites don't use them. I can't believe you said that, Yvonne. That's a can of very warm worms.
Bringing umbrellas into it now?
Yeah. And real Seattleites? That's a whole discussion on social media. What's a real Seattleite? You can go there yourself, KUOW's Facebook page. We've been chatting it up with our real IRL friend, Todd Bishop, co-founder of the Seattle tech news site, GeekWire. Thank you, Todd.
Anytime, Bill.